Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're back in Atlanta, second half of the show live, and everybody knows the script for tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And we've been talking about so many aspects of the game. One more time, our Johnsonville gridiron guest. We've talked about all the noise. Let's get inside.
I think they got a Johnsonville, like, truck over there. I'm going to go get me one after this.
You might be dangerous.
About time, right? We're doing this bit every week. You know, I should get – I need to go get one.
I think you have been gotten short shrift this year.
What'd I miss? Anybody been good today, Paul?
I'll sound like a TV talking head. They've all been great. I don't know. I couldn't decide. I mean, other than Roman Harper, like, having some personal beef that he had to get off his chest.
What did Roman
say? It's been a great show. He basically accused the CFP of being a bunch of liars.
Oh.
Yeah. So why are they?
Shoot your shot, Roman.
I don't know why he had to choose our show to get. I mean, he's got an Instagram
ratings,
account.
Right? Ratings. Come on.
Couldn't he have gone directly to them and not. He's got a show with that Auburn, former Auburn guy.
Yeah, who is that guy? Oh, Cole, yeah.
Let's do something I don't think we've done today and actually talk about the game.
Oh, let's do it.
I'm just going to sit back and let you take us through everything that is important tomorrow.
But I think the most important thing, if you're an Alabama fan or if you're a Georgia fan, like, watch Carson Beck, because Carson has been as good as any quarterback in the entire country. And I think the most impressive aspect of this offense is, and this was a number that I pulled this week, and Jeremy Mills also pulled it. He is the fastest average time to throw in the entire country, which means he gets the ball out of his hand quicker than anybody. So if you want to affect this game, you only have about 2.3 seconds to try to get to Carson Beck, because otherwise that ball is probably going to be out. So that, to me, is the fascinating part. How can you force Carson into a bad decision? It's going to be really hard, right? Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell have to be Superman and – what's the Superman side? Batman. There we go. Both those dudes. They got to be those guys tomorrow, because if you let Carson sit in the pocket, he's going to rip you apart, because Brock's back, Ladd's back, rah-rah. I'm saying they're back. They're going to be back in some capacity, whether they're 100% or not. Having those guys on the field is going to be as healthy of a Georgia arsenal as they've had in a long time, and that's a scary thought if you're an Alabama fan.
And we just showed a picture of Dallas Turner. He does factor into some things.
No doubt. Yeah, and really it'll be fascinating, because here's the issue. If you show Carson Beck you're going to blitz, he's going to tear you apart. He's been great against the blitz. He sees it coming. So you have to win with four. That's why a lot of those games, the ET end tackle stunts or the TE tackle end stunts are going to have to be huge tomorrow. But really, on the other side, when I look at Jalen Milroe, he's been unbelievable in big moments. We all know that. I don't need to go through the rap sheet of how unbelievable he's been when it's counted the most. He makes the hard look easy. Tomorrow, I need to see him make the easy look easy, because sometimes that's not the case. And I think Tommy Reese has done a really good job at designing layup throws, especially last week against linebackers, getting Kendrick Law against a linebacker, getting his tight end, Amari Nyblack, on a linebacker. He's done a great job of setting up matchups, Isaiah Bond as well. Milroe hasn't always hit him when they're there. So if you expect to go into this game and play backyard football and run all around against Georgia, it's not going to happen. So he needs to be efficient on first and second downs, take those easy throws. If he can do that and make a couple of those wow throws that we know he can make and those wow runs, Alabama's going to give Georgia a run for their money for sure.
If you look at the game, is there one glaring advantage for one side or the other?
Maybe that Brock Bowers is on Georgia.
Yeah.
And Ladd McConkey. So how about this? I was looking at the numbers. Carson Beck has been on the field at the same time as Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey for only 79 plays all year, which is less than 10% of their offense with Carson Beck. And they've been pretty good, and that's without their best two players on the field at the same time. So to me, that's the X factor. To me, that's the glaring advantage, is that Georgia is going to have their best players ready to go. Again, whether they're 100% or they're 90 or 95%, doesn't matter. They're going to play in this game because this game means a whole heck of a lot to Georgia and those guys on the field. So to me, that's the big advantage, is that Georgia has more playmakers right now, and they're all going to be on the field.
There's uncertainty about a number of players, but from the Alabama side, McClellan may be the biggest uncertainty. Let's talk about what we know, and if he's not at a high percentage, what difference does that make in the game?
Yeah, it doesn't look good for Jason McClellan, right? And so Roydell Williams, Jam Miller, they really like those guys. To me, this one, it doesn't have as big of an impact, because when I look at this rushing attack, the most important aspect is the quarterback runs, the design runs. Because if you watch, Auburn gave Georgia some fits. I mean, Peyton Thorne averaged 7.7 yards a carry. Now, all due respect to Peyton Thorne, but he's not Jalen Milroe with the ball in his hands. So, to me, I think Roydell and Jam Miller are going to fill in fine. Yes, it hurts not having Jace. He's an extremely talented player, your number one back. But to me, they're going to win this game by getting the ball in the perimeter in some of those runs with Jalen Milroe, less about north and south.
We don't talk as much about Georgia's running attack. Maybe we should. Let's talk about that for a second.
Georgia's? Kendall Milton's been playing really well the last couple weeks. So what I love about this dude is when you're a defender, you don't want to see a running back that just wants to run you over and run right at you. And that's who Kendall Milton is. I mean, he is a big load right there. You don't want to get in front of him. It's taking, what, five, six, three, four? I mean, how many guys does it take to bring him down?
About nine, I think.
So that, to me, if Georgia can lean on this Alabama defense, then they stay ahead of the sticks. Then Alabama's got to dictate when they pressure. They got to show when they pressure. So to me, to your point, that's a big part of this game as well. We all want to talk about Beck and all these shiny toys he has, but if Georgia can just roll the ball out and get four or five a pop with Kendall Milton, it's going to be a long day.
The line is five. I don't know or really care how that is established. The perception is a little bit different, though. And I'm not talking about the fans you run into.
Yeah.
But as you pull the camera back, there seems to be a fairly consistent lean toward Georgia.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you? I'm not asking for a prediction, but it just in terms of analyzing what you see on the field.
I think it does, only because they're so consistent. Now, the pushback to that I would offer is that I know it was on the road, but Auburn gave them everything.
Right.
Vandy on the road was within, you know, a play of making that a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Now, obviously, that one ended up very well in hand, but that was closer than they would have liked, obviously. Georgia Tech was able to do some things. So you look at Missouri as well. You look through the Georgia body of work and you go, yeah, they've been dominant. But there's been some teams that have found some ways to move the ball on them. So I would say yes. Am I on the side of I feel like Georgia has a much bigger path to victory? Yes. But they've also showed that if Alabama shows up and plays their A game, which they'll need, it's going to be a really close one. So I think that line is right about where it probably should be.
We love to talk about all the matchups. I mean, the coaching matchup is I'm intrigued by that because there's such familiarity. These guys have been at it so many times. Is there anything overall from a coaching, I mean, A to Z, that stands out to you?
I just don't think Saban has got enough credit for how much he has given leash to Tommy Rees to
right.
change this offense however he sees fit. And remember, this is an Alabama program where whether you were Bill O'Brien and you were an NFL head coach and a big-time college football coach, whoever you were, you showed up and you ran this offense
right.
at Alabama. And that's how it was up until that South Florida game, really until before Texas A&M and Nick Saban went, okay, Tommy, you run whatever you need to run. And so the offense has evolved. And so that's where I think the question mark or the X factor for coaching is Tommy Rees. Like, is he going to throw the kitchen sink at Georgia? And if you're Kirby Smart in this defense, that's where you go, now I kind of really don't know what they're going to throw at us. This isn't the Alabama offense that we've seen year after year with subtle wrinkles. This is something completely different. So to me, the adjustments that Georgia's going to have to make is the most intriguing aspect. How much does Tommy Rees throw everything at the wall and see what sticks? And how much does Georgia have to adjust in game to counter some of that?
The only people that still talk about the game 2 years ago are Alabama fans who call in a show like ours and say, well, we split with them, so we...
Right.
But that game evaporated. It went into the wind because of what happened 3 weeks later. But as you look at that moment in time versus today, I mean, there are a lot of differences. What stands out to you from a Georgia standpoint?
Just what a monster Kirby Smart has built from top to bottom. And that was always the thing, right? These apprentices of Nick Saban's would go off and can they replicate the process and the program? He did, and he's kind of doing one better right now. Now, Nick has many, many years of that, and Kirby's well on his way, but it is top to bottom. Every week, Georgia is the best coach team in the country, in my opinion. Not just penalties and scheme, but when you just dive into mental mistakes and guys being out of gaps, it just doesn't happen with Georgia the way it does some other programs. Now, there's caveats to that, as always, but it's impressive how quickly Kirby Smart was able to clone the system, the process, the program, and build just a giant and a monster. And they're going to go toe-to-toe as the best versions of themselves tomorrow.
There's always been this theory that, and I don't even know, you know, how whether you can back it up, but certain you can back it up by who wins the game, but there are some coaches that just seem to have a slight edge. They know the nuances a little bit better. They handle the moment. With these two, is there, and we all know who Saban is there really an edge between the two?
Between the two of them, no. I don't think so. Because they're just so consistent in their approach for four quarters. They don't waver. They don't change. I think early in Kirby's career, he took some chances, right? In this game in particular, going for it on the fourth down with, I think, punting instead of going for it. So I think there was some things that early on Kirby was finding his identity and who he wanted to be. But now that these guys don't waver, whether the pressure is a 10 out of 10 or it's the game is well in control, they are the same exact person and coach throughout that. So, again, that's why I kind of went to the coordinators to me is more intriguing than the head guys because they are just – in the most endearing term, they're robots on the field.
And you mentioned we're at game 13. Before game zero, a lot of folks were beside themselves over Mike Bobo.
Yeah.
How's he done?
Oh, how the tables have turned, huh? I mean, I remember early on, I feel like I kept talking to Aaron Murray about it because Bobo was getting so much flack and so much negativity in the media, and I kept just – agreeing with what Aaron would say, and he'd back him up. And I go, man, when I see what they're doing with Brock Bowers when he was healthy early in the year, I mean, it was unbelievable. I think from start to finish, Mike Bobo has done one of the best coordinating jobs in the entire country because of the injuries he's had to deal with his two best players, because of some of the transfer guys that have had to come in and make an immediate impact, and with a new quarterback. Oh, by the way, Carson Beck was a first-year starter. Like, that, we soon forget how much adversity this Georgia team had to face, and I get it. They're more talented than anybody. There's guys that step up that are superstars. I get it. But tomorrow you're going to see, once again, just how good of a coordinator Mike Bobo is and how he uses Brock Bowers and finds ways to make him a focal point, which I think at times we saw with Munkin. And at times you're like, man, I think they could use him more. You don't say that with Mike Bobo.
We covered it. Jordan Rodgers delivered. Jordan, thank you very much.
Now you can get back to talking whatever. You know,
yeah,
we got the X's and O's.
We're
going
to bring a couple of lay people on to try to replicate what you just did. We're appreciative. We'll talk to two beat reporters who cover the two teams, Wes Blankenship and Stephen M. Smith. We asked for Stephen A. He was too busy talking about the Cowboys.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed.
So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here as we just heard some the former player talk about the game. Now we have a couple of guys who cover the beats. Wes Blankenship, who all of you know by now, and Stephen M. Smith, even better known. Oh, Stephen A. Smith.
I just want one of the paychecks, just one.
What's the what's the M for?
The M is for Marquise. I was named after my cousin, so I got to give my cousin credit on that one.
Have you ever met Stephen A. Smith?
I have not, but would love to. Have not.
Let's call him.
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
I bet people tag you a lot on Twitter thinking that you're Stephen A.
I get that too often. My own father even does it, so I get that way too often.
Hold Dad's on. Give me a second. I'm working on it.
Paul's name dropping on the show here, about to get Stephen A. Paul, while you're working on that, I got to ask you what the update is in your Ric Flair feud, man.
Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. We got him on the phone. We got him on the phone. Here we go. Oh, come on.
What's up with you and Ric Flair?
You know, 2 years ago, I think Ric Flair was sitting right here. Instead, you guys are here because he was not invited.
Yeah, he turns heel pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. I mean, and Ric Flair was, when I saw him last here in Atlanta, Georgia, he was a Georgia fan.
Yeah, so I think that you are caught in the crossfire of something that's not about Paul Feinbaum versus Ric Flair. I think this is about the Nature Boy against the Georgia Bulldog.
It is. Wes, I'm glad you said that because I'm tired of. What's your beef with Ric Flair? I don't know Ric Flair well enough to have a beef with him, but I'm disturbed that he would turn his back on the University of Georgia. And by the way, you guys, before he was a Georgia fan, he was a South Carolina fan.
And a Minnesota Golden Gopher.
And he played for Minnesota, and I think he was once a Gator fan.
So
I mean, there are words I could use that would get me fired to describe his prowess.
Paul, I think he was just feeling whatever team was winning at the time.
Yeah. He's never been a Bama fan, though. I do know that.
Well, he might be this week. It started when Kirby didn't shake his hand at that 2019 Notre Dame game.
So that's the deal. That became a big deal. And do you know the backstory?
Kirby didn't shake his hand at 2019 Notre Dame. And Jim Harbaugh reportedly has been shaking his hand since 1989. I spoke to Flair about a year and a half ago. I asked him about Kirby. He said, quote, screw that guy. It's about Flair and Kirby.
I think even Bama fans are going to stand up when the Nature Boy says, screw that guy.
Yeah. So it goes even deeper than that.
Are you with me?
I'm serious. Like, I would not picture that from Ric Flair. I would not picture it. I would not picture it.
I did not know that. You've been saving that one.
So 1999, WCW match. The only time that Ric Flair and Bill Goldberg have met up. Where did Bill Goldberg play his college ball?
Well, he played at Georgia.
He's a dog. Where my dogs at?
I want to say, I am not going. I am a reporter. I don't betray confidences, but I can tell you that Rick Goldberg doesn't think much of Ric Flair.
Wow. I think Ric Flair.
I know that for a fact.
Well,
because you may have seen the opening of the show once or twice.
Yeah.
Bill Goldberg's in the opening.
He's a damn good dog, Paul.
Yeah.
Well, Rick in the match.
Let's show this for those who don't know what's going on here. Then we'll get your this is what Ric Flair said. So Kirby Smart, you should have shook my hand. I'm not sure that's good English, by the way. You should have shook my hand on the sideline when I was standing next to Herschel Walker in Athens. Today it's all blue. Coach Jim Harbaugh has been shaking my hand since 1989. You know, I don't like this guy. I think that's being disrespectful to the Dogs.
It is disrespectful.
And you don't disrespect the dog. I mean, Kirby Smart is a class act. Yeah. If he don't want to shake Nature Boy's hand, then screw the Nature Boy.
Oh, my God.
In their only meeting, Rick was cheating to try to beat Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
I know you were watching, but I'm just trying to educate the people at home. That
was the one meeting, though?
For the record, we
asked Bill Goldberg if he was in town. He's not.
Yeah. To be the man, you got to cheat the man, Paul.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
That's what Rick said that day. But on behalf of all the Dogs, here's something that Ric Flair, his Michigan Wolverines, don't have. Back-to-back titles, Paul. He hasn't beaten the Dogs. As far as I'm concerned, he hasn't beaten you, baby.
Well,
so this is for you.
We have settled that.
Settled the score.
I happened, by the way, my former agent is the president and CEO of WWE. I think you are. I think you got a future on that.
I think we're going to hype you up, and we're going to get Bill Goldberg on the horn here. You got Stephen A. We're going to get Goldberg to coach you up for a pay-per-view match that no one will want to miss.
Okay, all we miss now is Don King.
Well,
let's go.
If Bill, first of all,
let's get Paul in the ring.
First of all, and I was taught to respect my elders, and I don't have that many elders anymore. But Ric Flair is my elder, and I don't want to make fun of the guy because he had a hard time getting up on the stage the last time he was here. I mean, he's got a lot of injuries.
I didn't mean to derail this whole conversation.
But I wouldn't mind seeing Bill Goldberg and him in the ring. I will be in Goldberg's corner. I'll do
it. Let's do it.
Okay. I will do it.
So how many rounds could you give him, Paul? How many rounds could you give him?
One of our former camera guys is a wrestler, and he may have. I think he was at Flair's farewell match a couple of months ago in Nashville. Do you remember? He said he could barely get in the ring.
All right.
I mean, Goldberg would kill him. I mean, Bill Goldberg is an athlete.
He is still an athlete. Yeah,
that man can still move.
Yeah. I mean, Ric Flair is a relic, I'm just trying to be a
dude.
I'm trying to sugarcoat it.
He tweeted at you that he was trying to bury the hatchet.
Well,
earlier in the week.
Did. He did. Well, that was after he wanted to compare W-2s.
I saw that. Yeah.
I didn't respond.
Well, because
I'm not going.
You're a class act until you get between the
ropes. My mama brought me upright. Okay, let's get to this game. Stephen M., what's going to happen tomorrow?
What's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to see offensive line and defensive lines go ahead. I'm a big man at heart in the trenches. It's going to come down to the offensive lines and defensive lines. Who can play ahead of the down and distance? That's the main thing. We can talk about the skill guys. We can talk about the quarterbacks. But the big men up front, they set the stage here for tomorrow.
I'm terrified, Paul. Terrified of Jalen Milroe. I got too much Munson in me, man. You got this big Alabama quarterback. How are we going to stop him? Every single time we play him here in Atlanta, they take us down and rip our hearts out of our chests as they beat in our hands.
Are you going to give us a hobnail boot right now?
He's done that before.
I'll break your nose.
Hey, hold on a second. Careful. Hold on. Jamari, I hate to keep asking you to do this. Can we dial up the Milroe touchdown? And I'm going to let Larry Munson make the call in real time. So give us a second.
Y'all had some good calls earlier today, I heard.
Yeah, there was. I had Jim Ross, the wrestling announcer, in our studio one time doing the kick six, and it was one of the funniest things we've ever – I mean, right afterwards, too. Right afterwards. It was raw.
Fourth and 31. I don't know how you topped that one.
Okay, let's go.
How you top Jim Ross?
Roll the play up.
Do we have it? Milroe's got a fourth and a mile. And he throws it to Bond. Isaiah Bond. The Auburn fans are shaken and stirred. Bama on top. Now they got to play the dogs. I mean.
That's good.
I didn't know I was going to be doing that today. But
I could possibly give you an Eli Gold one.
Yeah, let's get going.
I could possibly give you an Eli Gold one.
You could?
I can give you an Eli Gold one.
Okay, hold on. I didn't know you did Eli Gold.
I can give you Eli
okay,
Gold.
Let's dial the playback up again back at the studio. And we got Eli Gold with us here on the.
Milroe in the shotgun, throws it deep for Bond. Touchdown!
Oh, really?
Touchdown, Alabama! Touchdown, Alabama! Isaiah Bond in the back corner of the end zone. Can you believe it? He caught that, and he kept both feet in bounds. Touchdown, Alabama!
Man, I know you.
That was unbelievable.
I know you don't want this, but
he gets it.
You get that.
The heavyweight champion in the world.
Yeah. You earned that, man.
Man, that was amazing.
I've been working on that for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been working on that for a long time.
Oh, my.
Make that your Twitter pick, bro.
Yeah. That was unreal. That was truly unbelievable.
I've been working on that for a while. So, Eli, if you listen, if you got a seat
there,
let me get
that. I don't want to say you did it better than Eli, but I think you did.
I thought I was sitting next to Eli for a minute there.
Oh, my goodness.
That was amazing. Yeah, Milroe.
Where'd you grab this trait?
I've had it since I was 2 years old, Paul. My mother literally has a photo of me in the house with a pin behind my ear, a pamper on, and me yelling at TV.
Can you do any other play?
Let's throw one up.
Hey, Jamar, you don't happen to have the kick six, do you?
The kick six. How about second and 26?
Okay, what else? What do you got there? Second and 20. You got a big time Alabama play. We'll let you do it.
We'll do second and 26. We'll throw that on.
I don't know if we have it.
What did y'all?
You don't want to see second and 26. Okay, one more time. We're going to show Milroe. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. We have the kick six. I bet you've never done that one.
All right, let's do this.
You want to see the kick six? I do. Roll the tape.
Adam Griffith takes the kick. It's going to go. It's got some distance. It lost leg. Chris Davis. Chris Davis beat out the end zone. Chris Davis is going. 25, 20, 25, 30, 30, 40. Going to the 50, 50, 45. Chris Davis is going. They're not going to catch Chris Davis. He falls backwards into the end zone. Nick Saban, disgusted, coming off the field. He doesn't know what's happened, but Auburn's won the game on the most zany play in the history of college football. What in the world just happened, Bill? I have no idea, but Auburn just won.
Would Eli be that excited about that?
By the way, I've heard Eli's call. It was not that enthusiastic.
No.
That's the one thing I love about the local announcer. This is it. You know whether your team has won or lost.
Absolutely. Yes.
I've heard Munson do that where, it was like Manning, back of the end zone. Let's go home. I mean, there's no like.
Where's my scotch?
I mean, it is so interesting. And they always teach you. By the way, I've never done this before. But they always tell you you should be able to not to know who won by listening to the broadcast.
Right.
And not the case in the SEC.
No, I think the local call needs that.
It's not because you want to give the people what you're feeling also, even though you're kind of taught to hold back when you're in that moment. You want the people to feel what you're feeling because a lot of them are not there. They're at home watching TV, so they look at the local guy and say, put me in the action. Let me feel what you're feeling.
I have to tell you, you both, this is one of those unexpected segments. I didn't expect Ric Flair to get absolutely destroyed by both of you. Nor did I expect,
I'm
trying to be humble here in case he's watching, trying to pass the buck. I cannot believe how well you guys do play-by-play
for two
writers. Writers.
You would not
know this, Paul, but I actually did play-by-play for Bama men's basketball, student radio. Did it for 4 years.
Well, this guy's sandbagging over here.
You did.
I did it for 4 years. For WVUA University of Alabama student radio. Four years, I did play-by-play. Well, men's basketball.
I don't know why. I don't know why you're wasting time writing. Because you are unbelievable.
I mean, you got to somehow be a jack of all trades. So they can plug you where they need you at.
How are you at like punching phone calls in the afternoon? We may have an opening one of these days here.
you know what? Hey, Paul, I got the checkbook right here. If you want to pitch it, I got the checkbook here.
You know, I know Saban's going to try to anoint his successor. I've just anointed mine, Stephen M. Smith.
Let's go ahead and go.
I try to be neutral, but wear the Alabama gear every day. I don't care.
Get the plane, Paul. Put me on one up there. Get the plane.
We went 15 minutes long here, but I don't care. Great stuff. I didn't want this segment. I told Danny, I said, what are you bringing these two guys up here? But this has been the best segment of the year right here.
Security,
Wes Blankenship, Stephen M. Smith. Thank you, guys.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And welcome back. We are here. We've had a lot of fun, but we are going to continue that right now with our next guest. His name is longer than Peachtree Street in Atlanta. Jermaine Funny Mane Johnson. I mean, could you have added a few more things that?
Sound more important than I am, but thank you for having me, Paul.
SEC fans, especially those in Alabama, have been very familiar with Funny Mane. He is a comedian and really a very successful comedian. Birmingham's produced some pretty famous comedians, Roy Wood, of course.
Yes, sir.
And you may be the next one to turn the world upside down. Tell us about how all this started.
I've been a Bama fan all my life. My mom's Tuscaloosa girl, so you know.
You look like a Feinbaum caller, by the way.
Right. So I ain't have any choice but to root for Bama, but the comedy thing just came from being a class clown. And like you said, my guy Roy Wood Jr., Ricky Smiley, I watched all these guys come up. And, well, you know him well. You know, you're a Birmingham boy for a little while there.
Well,
I can't wait to drop your name when I get back home.
Yeah.
Some free meals, maybe.
I can tell you a few places that you don't want to go. but it's being the class clown, I was kind of that guy. I never thought about being a comedian because I think comedians are – I think it's too hard.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jeff Foxworthy, in fact. Mm-hmm. He was here a couple of years ago, and he told me about the first time he was on The Tonight Show, and mm-hmm. he had a 7-minute monologue, and something went long. And they said, as he was going on, they said, you got 4.5 minutes. And you know, you got to do a lot of improvising.
Yeah. Well, people say it's hard, but it's like anything in life, Paul. You do it long enough, it gets easier. But, you know, just having fun on stage and knowing that you got to bring smiles to people. Nobody cares what you went through that day. You know, once you get on that stage, you just got to do your thing.
Comedy, I'll tell you a funny story. I spoke at this big event about 20 years ago in Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And the guy afterwards told me, he said, that was great.
Yeah.
He said, well, we want you back next year. So he called me a couple of months later. He said, what you did was good. We want you to be funny, though. And I'm like going. So I called a friend of mine. You may a guy named Joe Hobby. He's a comedian. He used to write for Jay Leno. He said, he gave me a joke. He said, you know where I'm going here.
Yeah.
He said, this is going to kill.
Yeah.
He said, it's my best joke. So I get up in front of these about 2,000-3,000 lawyers.
Yeah.
First joke.
and the stairs.
It didn't get a, it did not get a laugh. Yeah, I mean, it didn't get like a snicker.
Yeah.
It didn't get a laugh.
Yeah.
And I had 25 more minutes of B material. It got, it was so bad, Funny Maine, that I was actually enjoying it because I could, I was still getting paid.
Right.
And I was
right.
going to get out of there helps. So fast. And you, you know what that's like.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just like sports, man. It's next play. We say, you know, next joke up, you know, but it's tough when you start off bad. You know, you got to.
What's the most important joke when you do a routine?
The first three.
The first three
jokes. If you can get them those first three jokes, the rest should be a breeze. And that's kind of, you know, like in football, the first three drives, if you can lock in and
is
get
there,
them.
So the first three, is there, do you end on a, what's the psychology of ending? Cause
my psychology, like you said, you think about the check. So you want to get out of there as fast as you can, make sure they got that check printed, and just, you know, thank everybody
and
for coming
wanna,
out.
And you don't want to, you don't.
Yeah.
Okay, for those who haven't seen you in action, right. This is just, we're going to show this in a second. I think, is this the game?
Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Funny Maine, who's doing this during the game, 14-10.
Mm-hmm.
14-7.
Yeah, I like to take my emotions, you know, what I'm feeling during the game, and those are all real emotions, man, because it was very stressful, and I think this is when the play happened, you know, the Milroe catch, and I still just didn't know what happened, man. It was
shocking.
What
were you doing during that play?
I was sitting in the car. Yeah, I was sitting in the car. We were at a watch party at a bar in downtown Birmingham. I didn't like the mojo in the building. So late in the fourth quarter, I went, turned on my phone and watched the game there alone. And apparently it worked because that play right there happened, man. So I'll do it again if I need to. I change shirts. I'm very superstitious.
Tell us, you've done comedy clubs all over the country.
Right.
When things go well, what is there – is it more the audience than the material?
I think it's a combination.
Okay.
It's a combination. If you can relate to the audience or give them relatable material and you've got them in and they're looking at you smiling and laughing, it's like an out-of-body feeling, man. But it feels good when they're just rocking with you and you're telling your stories and they're coming along for the ride.
I did something a number of years ago for the Daily Show, and they told me something as we were going to do a segment. They did an Alabama week, you probably remember. And they said, We have one hard, fast rule here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't punch down, which really upset me because
you wanted to
that's all we
down.
Do.
Right.
Is that, I mean, is there a philosophy that humor encompasses what?
With me, I'm more of an inclusive than exclusive person. I don't do a lot of punching down. I make fun of myself. I try to include the audience.
That shouldn't be hard.
Yeah. See, that's good. That's very good. A lot of people didn't catch that, but my comedy, man, I caught it. So, you know, you make fun of yourself and then saying stuff that people can relate to and just keeping it clean, keeping it
now,
southern
are you,
and relatable.
You're not going to work this show into your routine now, are you? Like, I was doing this show.
Something will probably end up being on there. Yeah. At some point, absolutely. But like I said, it's just going to be me, like, when people ask me about the show, I'm like, yeah, that's my guy, Paul. We go way back. That's been my boy for years. Absolutely.
Well, I have that. I mean, I spent so long in Birmingham that it's you always hear that I take it with you. I really do feel like I still live there.
Yeah, and we miss you, man. You know, we don't run into you at the supermarkets and stuff. But we consider you one of our own.
I did that a number of years ago.
Yeah.
I went to Walmart, and, you know, people would stop me, and I said, nah. I told my wife, I go in there, sunglasses and a hat. We hadn't even gotten past the greeter.
Right.
He said, hey, Paul, what's going on? I said, no.
It happens, man. It's a very football knowledgeable city, man. And I tell everybody, I'm always pro Birmingham. We got great food, great people, a wide assortment of potholes. We got everything.
Well, I'm going to start dropping your name. Funny Maine is my new guy.
Absolutely.
Give him a hand.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We just had a comedian on. Mike Griffin is up next. Todd Meyer and RJ will be with us in the final half hour. We got a caller here, Stacy from Birmingham, who is a fraternity brother of Funny Man.
That's right. That's right. Funny Man, Jermaine Johnson.
So you've been offering me bribes all for the last 2 weeks to get on this show.
Well, Paul, you know how it is. We got to make the world mad.
Stacy from Birmingham, we always like, listen, it's been great. You were with us last week.
Yes, sir.
You're here today. And how did you become a caller?
Hey, just I've been calling in for about a year. When I first tuned in, I heard all the chaos, and I said, man, let me jump and give my input.
Stacy, I don't want to ruin your day, but you know what's going to happen tomorrow, don't you?
Oh, you know I know what's going to
happen. You know the Dogs are going to win, don't you?
Nah.
The Dogs are going to crush you like a hobnail boot.
What the Dogs are forgetting about is that Alabama is 7-0 in this game. That's what the Dogs forget.
Oh. I may have
roll
spoke too soon.
Roll,
you may be right. Just changed my pick to Bama. Roll Tide.
Paul, I just want to tell you that you're going to make a lot of people mad about this.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.